This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by you. That is right, you. All of your Patreon donations, PayPal donations, five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, shout-outs on social media, articles, mentions to your friends, IHU merchandise purchases all make this show possible week in and week out. And for that, we thank you, homies. This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit. I was very excited to say drop the intro. Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are she and her, and who's gonna get the drop right for the YouTube people one day, but today is once again not that motherfucking day, unfortunately.
We're troubleshooting, man. We're getting there. We're getting there. And also me, Rodecca, a fat black, non-monogamous,
Monagamag, dude, too.
Non-monogamous existentialist femme whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here, and my pronouns are she and her.
Very nice. Every episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This episode, we're talking about the high demand for sperm donors across these here United States. We're talking about lesbian rabbits. We're talking about punani-scented candles. We're talking about couples therapy, but as friends, and the Danish kids show about a big-dicked man, and much more in addition to that. We got a good one in store, because that was like a fever dream of words. That was like a Mad Lib.
You said it out loud, and it was just like, did any of those things actually mean something? And they meant so much at the same time. Yes. And it's all happening in this one episode, yes. Yo.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation found in this episode, you could do so on social media using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can see it and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at InnerHoeUprising without the G on Twitter, InnerHoeUprising on Instagram and Facebook. And you can join our Facebook group by searching InnerHoeUprising, CUMMUNITY, and head to InnerHoeUprising.com to pay a hoe.
If you want to pay us to speak virtually at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics we discuss on this here show, or if you'd like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating virtual workshop for your organization, we would love to do all of those things. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Let's play the drop for the next segment.
Grandma! Yeah. Are you a hoe?
I just make myself laugh.
I love how pleased you are. Exactly. That's what it is. And it's the joy for me where every time you're just like, phenomenal.
It's just me laughing at very silly jokes. Anyway. Now on the Hoe of the Week. This is the segment where we shout out the homies who have supported Inner Hoe Uprising in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. So this week we got Brian R., a.k.a. Robbie Net. Sorry. Who became a patron on Patreon. We got Ann Julie S., a.k.a. Granny, who became a patron on Patreon. And we got Wendy N., a.k.a. Blow Trees, who upped their pledge on Patreon. If you would like to be a hoe of the week and get a cool nickname, here are some things you can do. You can leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can feature us in an article you've written or shout us out on social media. These are non-monetary ways you can support us. We love monetary and non-monetary support, and we understand that in these uncertain times, monetary support is not feasible for many folks because, like, where's the stimulus check?
Where's the stimmy? I want my stimulus check. Yeah,
I was thinking of changing my Twitter name to Stimmy Eat World, but somebody else already had that. But I did want everyone to know that I did think of that pun.
Yo, I still laugh at you going, this is our next stimulus check, and it's a two-trip fucking MetroCard. I reference that often, and like I show people that because it's fucking hilarious, son. It's like, yeah.
Shout out to the two trips, though.
Yo, they do be coming in hand. They did at one point in time, so I'm not gonna act stush, but
we come need on a now more than that, guys. Please help me, please, nigga. All right, yeah, so please, the point is, please do not spend your last dollars on us. Put you and yours first. But if you can't spare some change, you can donate to us on PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/innerhouprising. The links to both, which are in the show notes. Also, a reminder that if you do become a patron on Patreon for $2 a month, you can participate in things like our Slack chat, our patron-only film nights, and for $5 a month, you can join our Monday night Zoom hangouts. And at any Patreon tier, you can receive access to our episodes a few days early, entry to our workshops and parties, and entry to our pre-episode recording hangouts, which are always so fun. Everyone is like they smart are. And funny and just a good ass time. We were talking about misinformation and Clubhouse.
Yes. Oof.
This past week. That was fun. Okay, we're going to get into our next segment. Shout out to Wave Ghost. We're moving on to self-care tip of the week. This is the segment where we give you some tips on how to care for yourself. So this week, does breast cancer run in your family? Or other kinds of cancers like prostate or ovarian cancer? Are you just simply concerned about your risk of getting breast cancer, whether or not it runs in your family? Have you had questions about the genetics of it all? Are you curious about the process of seeing a genetic counselor and assessing your risks and options for prevention? Well, this week's self-care tip, I want to point you in the direction of a really good talk that I think you might find helpful and might get you some answers to the aforementioned questions. So it was called Breast Cancer Genetics in the Black Community and featured several physicians and genetic counselors discussing just that. The talk was hosted on Clubhouse, which can be good sometimes, despite...
It's a balance. It's not always bad.
Sometimes there's misinformation and sometimes there's actual information. This was one of the instances of the information. So it was hosted on Clubhouse and Instagram Live by the same people who bring you a podcast that I produce, In Those Genes. That full talk is now available for you to listen and learn on Instagram. So I'm going to be sharing the link in the show notes for that. And I hope you find it valuable like I did, because it was a good talk. We're going to move into our next segment, and I'm excited to introduce the drop for this one.
He humped a male dog. The owner said, "This dog must be gay."
So we are debuting a new segment. It is called Animals Do Be Gay, though, and it is the segment where we acknowledge and discuss the diverse sexual identities of animals.
If y'all are ever wondering, we do it for y'all, but there's a love behind this for just things that we want you to know. And the fact that this segment exists is a perfect testament to that. It's fun. It's fun over here, y'all.
It's a good time.
Animals do be gay, though. Yes, they do.
What are our gay animals this week?
So this week we found a lovely article about lesbian rabbits. So the full title of this article, I believe, needs to be read. It needs to be This Morning. The name of the show is This Morning. This Morning viewer calls in concerned her rabbit is a lesbian as fans are left stunned that 15,000 animal species are gay. I feel like this is a challenge at this point now, because, and it's a perfect start, because I'm thinking now we must find all 1,500 gay animal species. I mean, if it's there, we've got to find it. That's 1,500 different pieces of information that must be shared.
With the people. With the people. That's a good point. I'm for it. I'm fucking for it.
I'm for it too. So Yvette from Essex, this is a UK show. So Yvette from Essex took part in the segment with Dr. Scott on the show, where it's a vet that they ask questions about animals, like if they're sick, how do I know if they're sick, blah, blah, blah. So then she called in. And Yvette has two sister rabbits who are 21 years. Jesus Christ.
They can legally drink. Rabbits, man. And are just going to pass away very soon.
That's why I don't know why I said that. Been a long time. 21 weeks old, named Havis and Willow. Havis has started to mount Willow and chase her around.
Wait, okay. I just want to interject here. Sister rabbits. Are they related?
Sister rabbits. Yes.
Oh no.
They're the same litter.
So this is,
I don't know if that word is
this
litter.
Went from LGBTQ rabbits to like a fucking like porn hub.
Yes, like, it got a little freaky.
Sister lesbian rabbits.
Only 21 weeks old. Like, it's bad. I know that's bad, y'all. But come on, you've seen the title. Yes, that's what happened.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Sister Rabbit's Gone Wild. but they basically, the host, there's a host on the show outside of the vet who is kind of pulling Yvette to ask the question because she's dancing around it. But she doesn't end up asking directly, even though the host knows the question. So she's just kind of like, you know, like, this is what's happening. And then on the screen, it just pops up and it says, is my rabbit lesbian? Because they're like, fuck that, just ask the question. And she said, what she did say was she went online and to do some research about lesbian rabbits, and all she was able to find was someone said to tell them no, to stop in a stern voice, like, stop, and just like point at them and be like, stop being lesbian rabbits.
You gotta just like read scripture to them. And the Bible, it said, like, woman rabbit for man rabbit. It's rabbit Adam. Wait, Will, and it's rabbit not Willow Eve. And, yeah.
It's not Willow Hava.
It's not Willow and Chloris, or whatever the fuck her name
it's
is.
It's Steve and Willow. That's what it is. Yeah, so.
Imagine you said Steve. Gets- Steve in the Bible.
Steve.
Shout out to Adam and Steve, though.
Adam and Willow. My bad, y'all. Clearly, I don't read the Bible. Anyway, so the vet says, and they had a really good answer. It was, a lot of animals can be gay. Do tell. About 1,500 species of animals are known to show homosexual behavior, so it's all very, very natural. I said that clearly we're vets. I mean, I don't know if we need like an honorary license or something, but we are ahead of our time.
We've been saying this. So gay the university.
I mean, ask us questions, and I got you. But he goes on to say, love is love. But in this particular case, it's actually territorial. So two animals, two sisters sharing the same room, they're just fighting. They're sharing the same space, and they've been together for a long time. So like the mounting and the chasing around isn't sexual. It's just,
she's
like,
just fucking her up.
Yeah, she's like fighting her. Like, you know what I mean? So they're going to want a bit of extra space. And female rabbits, more than male rabbits, are more territorial, as they're the ones who are going to protect their burrow. So he said, he went on to say about them being like neutered because it was a hormonal thing. I don't really like that. I mean, that granted, I don't have any animals, but I just like don't like the idea of neutering animals because they're just displaying behaviors that are innate to, for their species. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, obviously that's a thing, but I just didn't put that in there because I'm like, whatever. Yeah. We just want to know about the gayness. But yeah, so that's what it was. They're just literally like, all right, you're all up in my space, sis. Like, get out of here. So she's just fighting her.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then people were on Twitter were like, get a grip. Like, what kind of question is that? But I'm like, I mean, she didn't seem, Yvette wasn't like, I'm angry. It was more like, what do I do? This is unexpected. It's kind of like a child. Like, how do I help my child, lesbian rabbit? I'm like, just let him be, you know? But yeah, clearly these bunnies were not of the 1,500 species, but soon we'll find them and we'll talk about
them. We will continue to, this was a bait and switch. We got to continue to find the fucking lesbian rabbits. And interview them for this podcast.
They're out there.
What sound do rabbits even make?
I think they just, like, there's this little tiny mic thing that's going on, like a trend where they put mics next to animals' mouths. And I think they just, like, chew things. I don't think they actually make any noises. It would just be sniffing and, like, just a little bit of, like, yeah.
I thought it was funny when he said love is love. Because, like, I don't know what anybody's capacity for, like, I don't know what people's personal thoughts on, like, animals are
rabbit love?
But just like animal, like, do animals have the capacity to love? Like, is it love? Is
I don't know.
I just like,
is it love is fucking, love? I think he was trying to make a statement.
Oh, like gayness is okay. Like, okay. Because I'm like, fucking Lady Gaga.
He went a little
Lady
far.
Gaga's gonna make a remix to Born This Way, but it's just gay animals. Love is love.
It's just that I'm dancing.
Transgender
by
lions. Like
rabbits. Yeah. Oh my. But yes, that's Animals Do Be Gay, though, our intro segment, you know.
There you go. The inaugural Animals Do Be Gay.
The inaugural,
that was
there
good.
You go.
I appreciate that. Much more in store. And if you have gay animals who would like to be interviewed for this podcast specifically,
we'll get a tiny mic And I promise you will be prepared for when they come. Okay.
Oh, man. All right. Let's get into our next segment. Let me pull that the fuck up.
Baby, come through. You deserve rounds tonight.
I think the fact that I laugh like I don't already know what it is, but when it starts.
Like you're playing it, you're like, end scene.
When it starts, I'm just like doubly amused. Like, wow, people listen to this. That's so funny.
Oh, people listen and enjoy it.
What's it's just me no, just kidding. We're great. Being the same person I was when I was 14. Consistent. And people think that's amusing. Thank you, guys. Seriously. All right. So this is last week we were calling it working title Throat Baby, but we have named this segment officially. This is called Fuck Is This? And it's a moment to discuss, rant about, or laugh at nonsense in the in the realm of sex, love, and dating. So this week I'm going to bring you some doubly unfortunate news. One, Gwyneth Paltrow has a vagina-scented candle. And two, it allegedly exploded in someone's home. Like, that's rough shit. That's bad. Oh, that's bad news.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
In a pandemic?
Yeah, yo. It's just because the first thing I thought of was just, like, the smell. Like, just, if it exploded, the smell is everywhere now. So, you know, you might have wanted that concentrated scent. And now it's just, like, I walk in and it's just.
My whole house smells like Gwyneth Paltrow's pussy.
Yep.
Sad.
Yep.
Sad. All right. So I'm like.
What's that smell? I'm sorry. Just invite friends over and they're like
hey. And what kind of pussy is it, right? Because you know your pussy goes through a variation of smells.
What stage
is it? Period pussy
is it in?
It's just copper pennies up in there, like y'all open the piggy bank. Oh no,
what when is going on?
When Paltrow's candle just exploded, unfortunately. It's Gwyneth Paltrow's BV pussy. Oh, y'all cooking fish up in here? Oh, shit. No, it's...
Nah, it's GP.
It's GP's BV pussy.
That's it. Oh, my God.
If you are new to this podcast, this is not to shame vagina smells. We accept all vagina smells.
Yeah, not at all.
That's actually something that we're going to talk about a little bit at the end of this, but...
Fun fact, me and Sam both have vaginas.
And so they do be smelling, though. Know? Sometimes it's just like, yo, my pussy is rocking today, boy.
And I'm like, damn, that's the side of the bed I heard woke up on today? Sis. Word? I heard you're commanding the room today. I see you. And I will follow suit because there's nothing I could do. No shade at all here.
Yeah. All right, let's get into Gwyneth Paltrow's pussy candle. So I'm just going to read this article. This is from the New York Post, and it's titled Gwyneth Paltrow's quote-unquote vagina candle. I don't know why that's in quotes. Reportedly explodes in UK woman's home. This was...
UK.
UK is
going...
UK is always on some shit, though.
Yes.
This is by reporter Yaron Steinbauk, who also wrote the story about the man who grew the penis on his arm, which we talked about, and also happened in UK. Yeah, I fuck with Yaron Steinbauk. Unless he's racist or something of the like, in which case we will continue to say your articles on this podcast, but we do not fuck with you personally. All right, so the Gwyneth Paltrow candle didn't pass the smell test, according to a report. And that's why you got to fuck with Aaron, because this nigga likes puns just as much as I do. This smells like my vagina candle. The actress pedals on goop exploded into flames in the living room of a UK woman who won the odoriferous product in a quiz, The Sun reported. I just want to say... Other goop products include, because I don't fuck with goop. I think,
no.
Isn't it like fake or some shit like that? Like, isn't it like, you know, rub this on your body and you'll be healed or some shit like that?
It's very white hotep-y. And because I have to say that.
The hoteps.
Very like, and then it's, there you go. And then it's like really expensive too. I don't think any products there are really cheap. So, yeah.
I'm going to get into cost
it's
in
just,
a bit.
It's just a doubly terrible site.
So Goop is a white hotep organization run by Gwyneth Paltrow. Other Goop products include This Smells Like My Orgasm Candle, This Smells Like My Prenup Candle, there's a This Smells Like My Vagina Roll-On that you can wear on your physical body, and then there's the Tennis Coach Vibrator. What's going on over at Goop. The candle exploded and emitted huge flames with bits flying everywhere, Jody Thompson, 50, told the outlet. I've never seen anything like it. The whole thing was ablaze and it was too hot to touch. There was an inferno in the room, the media consultant from Kilburn, North London added. And that's the ninth circle of hell that I was referring to earlier.
There you go.
If you're on
and
YouTube.
And we're back.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Thompson, who lives with her partner, David Snow, said they threw the flaming candle out the front door. This is the fact that his name is David Snow. These niggas in the UK are really named after Game of Thrones characters
yep.
up in here. Wow.
Yep.
Interesting. It could have burned the place down. It was scary at the time, but funny looking back that Gwyneth's vagina candle exploded in my living room, she said, and I fully agree with that.
Nice sense of humor.
I fully agree with that. Paltrow 48 launched the $75 candle, emitting her private scent. Yes, it is $75, unfortunately, in January 2020. And you know what happened in January 2020? The world started a descent into chaos. And I don't know if that's a coincidence that Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina candle came out at that same time.
Anything that happened in 2020 was not a coincidence. It was the year to end all years. So it was like, look, anything that could happen. As soon as I saw 2020, I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense.
So was her vagina candle the fourth horseman of the apocalypse or the first horseman of the apocalypse?
The first. It was the coming of the apocalypse. This is when that this dropped and we knew everything after that was a descent into madness.
Oh man. All right, so scent notes include geranium, citrusy bergamot and cedar absolutes juxtaposed with damask rose and ambrette seed, according to her online stores.
Okay,
what the fuck are any of
question.
Those
I have a question.
I know bergamot.
Is she smelling her own vagina and saying it smells like all of these things? Or is there like a tester or multiple people going like, I'm getting
expert.
Hints of
yeah. cedar
geranium?
Notes. Cedar
is that,
notes.
Is that cedar? We must juxtapose. Like, come on.
Great question that I don't know the answer to. But here's a little backstory from the article. This candle started as a joke between perfumer Douglas Little and GP, reads the website. Oh, people actually call her GP. I thought that was a joke that you were making.
I was making it up. And I swear to God, I didn't know that was a thing.
Imagine
that name
gall.
Is long as fuck.
The two were working on a fragrance and she blurted out, this smells like a vagina. And I just feel like you're fucking lying, Gwyneth Paltrow. I just feel like I don't believe you.
At what stage in the fragrance did it smell like a vagina?
At what point?
You're like, oh, stop at the geranium. That's pussy. Let's add more things like that. No, you didn't.
We don't believe you. You need several more people. But it evolved into a funny, gorgeous, sexy, and beautifully unexpected scent. Isn't that the whitest thing you've ever heard in your entire life? That's just like how white people talk sometimes. Gorgeous,
specifically
funny, sexy.
Unexpected. I've heard like, well, yeah, that's like something that would be on someone's bedroom wall. It's like gorgeous, sexy, and beautiful. Like as, oh my God, like the live, laugh, love, but in the bedroom. That's what it is. I get that.
That's what this candle is. These are the live, laugh, love hoteps.
Yes.
The triple L hoteps. A goop spoke.
Oh, you don't need antidepressants. Go out into the sun hoteps.
Just have a funny, gorgeous, sexy, beautifully unexpected day.
Just, and then they start ruffling their hair. Like, yeah. You know, you just gotta be unexpected. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Man. A Goop spokesperson told the Post in a statement that Thompson's candle wasn't purchased through the outlet, so we aren't able to verify its authenticity. I don't know what to make of that, so I'll just move on.
People out here making fake GP candles?
Bootleg, this smells like my vagina candle.
Okay.
But then also she gotcha. Won it in a contest.
Yeah, But like, were you, okay, there's so many questions. Was the prize only that? And is that what she was working hard for?
Is that
for?
What you entered the competition?
Is that what you actually tried to win for? The candle?
It's like, this is what I need. Yes, this
people
is
out here
one.
Trying to smell it like that? Okay. I don't know. Maybe I'd do it for a Rihanna candle. I know that sounds crazy, but I might.
We're going to get to that a little bit later.
Okay.
I do have, I have questions in regards to that.
Okay.
Let's finish up the article. However, the factory that manufactures the Goop times Heretic candles. Why would you hoop?
Goop? The hoop, goop?
Goop times Heretic?
Scoopity boop. I'm sorry.
Shout out to Kanye. Pre-racism, though.
Yeah.
I just feel like I wouldn't burn something called Goop times Heretic in my home. That sounds evil. That sounds like you're opening up, once again, the ninth circle of hell in your fucking home. That's why that shit exploded. Goop times Heretic?
It's a collaboration.
Don't collaborate, because that's the Heretic is the second fucking horseman of the apocalypse, right?
There you
here.
Go.
Heretic Candles is certified by the National Candle Association of America, which regulates that candles meet stipulated safety guidelines and ASTM and CPSC fire safety protocols, Nora Raj Brown said in the email.
Okay.
That felt safe. I heard that and that felt safe. The article said a little bit more things, but that's where I would like to personally end it and move on to another thing that I find unfortunate, Badoosie. So last year, which was just, it really was the worst year, Erykah Badu sold Badoosie or Badu's Pussy Incense, and it sold out in 19 minutes.
Yes. That was an iconic
That was a moment. We didn't get to talk about it on the show, but that was a moment. It is said to have been made from, quoting the LA Times, that's me quoting the LA Times, cutting up and burning several pairs of her own used underwear. Doesn't that sound dangerous? Isn't like inhaling microfibers of cloth not something you're supposed to do?
And like, you're not going to get a smell from that. Like, you're going to get burnt underwear. You're going to get cotton smell. That's it. Like, you're not getting put. All right. I don't know what's worse, like actually taking things that were on your purse and expecting it to smell like it, or like just taking random scents like geranium and saying, oh, this smells like pussy. My pussy. I don't know which one is worse. They're both bad. And like, I, you know, like as a person who enjoys pussy, as a person who like doesn't mind being around it in any type of way, it's just definitely been in it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like I want my room to smell like pussy, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I was thinking about this yesterday. I had an oven pizza for dinner. Sometimes it happens, you motherfuckers. You're not cooking all the time. Sometimes you have an oven pizza for dinner. It's a pandemic. Fuck you.
Which is fair.
Yeah, I had an oven pizza for dinner. And I'm like washing the pan off. And I'm like, you know, after it's all said and done, pizza kind of stinks. Like, you want pizza. I'm not saying pussy kind of stinks. Don't conflate what I'm saying. This is still a feminist podcast.
You know, someone's
fuck
like,
you.
Well, you can't. What you trying to say?
Canceled. But,
waiting to press
after
that
it's all said and done, like, you don't you want to smell the pizza as you're eating the pizza,
yes,
but you don't want a person to smell like pizza. Like, sometimes niggas come up and they smell like pizza and I'm like, you gotta get out. You gotta get out of my face. My home, my life,
it's strong
earth. So like, it's scents certain scents are not for all of the things. So like, when you're when it's just you chilling with your vagina and your bodily smells or whatever, yeah, sure. When it's you engaging with someone else and their bodily smells or whatever, yeah, sure. But are you
when I'm reading a book
and I want to burn a candle, I don't think it's that.
When I want to take a bath, like the times, or even when I want a room to be smelled and enveloped with a certain scent, I'm never thinking pussy.
or pizza. There's just certain things. Like, you know, like when you're at the gas station or whatever, you're like, oh, gas kind of smells good, though. But you're not burning a gas candle in your
never.
Home.
I love the smell of onions. Like, the way that Me too. It smells when I'm cooking something.
Onions and
it's
garlic.
It's so good. But I never think to myself,
let me burn an onion candle.
Let me. And no, I love those smells.
Although I do burn onion skins, though.
Oh, word?
Yeah. To like banish.
We gotta talk about that. But yeah, see, we kind of just like, yeah, that's good. But again, you wouldn't have done that. So that you can smell it, you're doing it for a purpose.
I would recommend that woman burn some onion skins after that fucking Goop Times Heretic shit burned in her own.
Bad energy up in that place.
You need to cleanse, my nigga. Well, yeah, so I don't like that Erykah Badu did that, but I dislike Gwyneth Paltrow significantly more because she's selling Hotep and white woman things.
Yeah.
And it's one thing to be a black Hotep like Erykah Badu, but it's nothing. You can't.
And she's always been. Yes. You know, like, you know what to expect when you enter her realm.
Another thing is that Gwyneth Paltrow is still selling these vagina candles and Erykah Badu's Badoosie is nowhere to be found on her website.
Yeah.
But you can buy water bottles with crystals in them, which I thought was very, that was very on brand.
That's a thing.
They too were like $75. I was about to say $75,000. All right. So
someone will buy it.
Thoughts in wrapping up. There's nothing I'd rather smell less than Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina. I do want to make that clear. There is a conversation to be had about the vagina smell / taste, like X, Y, and Z thing, or that pussies don't smell or taste, and all that kind of stuff. I feel like it's very it dips into sex negativity. It dips into pandering for like the male gaze. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to eat so many fucking pineapples so my pussy tastes good. This nigga's cum tastes like Newports though. So how?
Yo, like his balls were stuck to his ass.
This nigga has not washed the inside of his ass in his whole life.
But I have to like eat pineapples and only have waters with crystals in it so that my vagina doesn't taste like it's supposed to.
Yeah. Like, fuck that. But
fuck that.
If you listen to the show, you know how we feel about that. And this is a segment for shenanigans. So we're not going to get into that. We will, however, go into more shenanigans. Imagine the world in 10 years with continued celebrity shenanigans. I'm hypothesizing Yahya Abdul-Mateen taint-scented candles.
You would
definitely smell like a stain.
Are you?
And I would buy that, actually.
I was going to ask. We got
Doja Cat's fart wind humidifier, which I think there's a market for that. Cardi B's breast milk ice cream, which I have a little samp.
Beyonce's breath.
Yes, Beyonce's.
Because people love Beyonce.
Yes.
I don't know if that's like a wind, like a fan that it comes out of. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
A mystifier.
Yeah, like the ones with the ones with the water in the bottom.
Yes, it's like exactly. That. That's the essence. But it's like exactly. Yes. Wow, that's fun. Someone sweat. I'm just thinking. No, not a sweat. Whose sweat would I want?
Rihanna. Yeah, it would be Rihanna's sweat. It would actually be Rihanna's sweat. Yes.
There you go. Because it's just.
I just feel like it wouldn't stink. I know that's contradicting everything I just said.
And that's a lot of pressure on someone because she is just a human person. But you got to convince me otherwise.
For one moment, we're going to deify you. I don't think your sweat would stink.
I don't think it smells.
Maybe her feet sweat specifically, but everything else. The underneath of Rihanna's boob sweat.
Yeah, I'd do that. I don't think that's not do it, but I'd.
Yeah, I would become that.
Yeah.
I'd be that.
I just imagine you like melting down into it and you're like, that's it.
That was the purpose of my
higher existence.
Okay. Well, if you guys at home have any additional shenanigans of bodily fluids that you would like to see made in the world, let us know. IHUpodcasts@gmail.com or you can add us at Inner Hole Uprising on Instagram and Twitter. Is the conversation in this episode so far resonating with you? That would be funny if it was. I think you should
buy a candle?
And it exploded in my home. Is it helping you learn some new shit, helping you unlearn some old shit, or just allowing you to have a good ass time? All right. The people are saying that it is. And we love to hear that. We would also love for you to support the continuation of conversations like these. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, you can take a moment to subscribe to us or drop 5 stars and leave a rating for the homies. If you got a little extra chickity change, you can drop some cash in the PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho or come join our Patreon community and access things like our chat and virtual events for as low as $2 a month. Patreon.com/innerhouprising is where you go to do that. Or you can just hit up a friend and say, yo, listen to this podcast. I love it so much. You should listen to it too. We thank and love you all for your continued support. All right, now we're going to get into our next segment. All right, this is our current event segment. That's where we talk about things that are current. We have a great one for you today.
I do. I don't know if you remember in the beginning of the episode, but we were talking about a little Danish penis television show. I don't know. We kind of like toss that around. Well, it's a thing, guys. So the information I'm giving you is largely pulled from, we're going to put it in the show notes, but it's largely pulled from one article. So the Danish equivalent of the BBC, I think we've talked about BBC, but a lot of people know who that is. It's called DR. And they have a new animated segment series aimed at 4 to 8-year-olds.
That is so specific.
Specifically, and that's why we have to start with this, because you need to know that it's not like implied. This is a children's TV show about John Dillermand, the man with the world's longest penis who overcomes hardships and challenges with his record-breaking genitals, okay? So it must be said that Diller, in Danish slang, is penis. So his name is literally John Penis Man.
Oh Here's a potential episode.
It's just John Petersman. That's it. It always writes itself. But yes. So the show's premise is that John Dillerman has an extraordinary penis. So extraordinary, in fact, that it performs rescue operations, it etches murals, it hoists flags, and even steals ice cream from children. I don't know if he's a rascal.
Wait, why would it do that?
He's a rascal, and he's also... So this is why. I'll tell you
why. Rude.
John Dillerman is a middle-aged man who wears a... This is what it says on Wikipedia now. A middle-aged man who wears a red and white candy-striped bathing suit. He has a penis that can extend to the length of a dozen of meters, and he uses his penis as a tool. And he tames lions, and he flies about like a helicopter. It's really like it's a stop motion thing. I watched it for this. I did, because I was like, I need to know what this looks like. And I really, the one thing that disturbed me the most is I did not like the fact that it looked like a candy cane.
His dick looks like a candy cane.
Because what it is he's wearing, you know, those bathing costumes that like in the older ones where it goes down to their feet and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, so obviously they're not show. Well, not obviously. They aren't showing the actual penis. It's just
it's clothed.
Yes, and it's stretching exactly, and it's stretching through the bathing costume, and it's akin to a candy cane, basically. Like it looks like that. The first scene is him trying to light his barbecue grill, but it's far away, and he doesn't want it to explode, so he uses his penis to light it. Yes. And I think we have, and I'll talk a little bit about this later. I think we do have to recognize that. In the UK and a lot of other places, they do have a different relationship with sex. So, it's supposed to be, like...
Normalizing genitals, talking.
But the reason that why it's a problem, and they'll talk about this a little bit, but the reason why it's a problem is because... And why would he steal candy from children and all that type of stuff? He's supposed to be a hero, but then there are times that his penis, he can't control it. And it does wild things. Which is where I'm like, all right, you're now going into dangerous territory because you're trying to show
couldn't control my dick. Like
exactly.
That sounds familiar.
And it stole candy from a baby. You know what I mean? And it's just doing things beyond my control. And oops, my penis did it. Like I can't even believe this is a real conversation. Anyway.
I just didn't expect to be having this conversation.
There's a couple of different comments from different professionals on the subject. So Christian Gross, an associate professor and gender researcher at Roskilde at a university, said that he believed that the program celebration of the power of male genitalia could only set equality back. So it's perpetuating the standard idea of a patriarchal society and normalizing locker room culture. That's been an excuse for a lot of behavior for men, and it's meant to be funny. So it seems as harmless, but it's not. And we're teaching this to our kids, which is exactly what I thought of before I saw it. I was like, you know, it's supposed to be funny. And they're just like, whoops, my penis did this. And it fucking, you know, but it's weird. It's like, what is the point? You know?
Yeah. What are you trying to? Because in all kids shows are like teaching lessons or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And this lesson is a bit odd.
Yeah.
Bit and rape culture-y.
And another, this person went a little hard. I feel like they were, I don't know what side they were on, but they had a lot to say about this. Okay. I'm going to go with Hochsted. That's their last name. So Erla Hochsted, a clinical psychologist who works with families and children, says she believes that the show's opponents may be overthinking things. So she said, John Dillerman talks to children and shares their way of thinking. And kids do find genitals funny, which is true.
But should they, though?
Exactly. It should be less.
Can it just be a part of your body?
Exactly.
Like your hand, your penis, like...
Why would we make it even more funny? So now I'm associating penis with something that's laughable when now I feel like across the board we've been trying to. Because when I worked for a school for a little bit, we specifically made sure not to say things like no parts or
your ding dong.
Yeah, you have to say penis and vagina because when you know what it is, you know when someone's referring to it and you know when someone, unfortunately, it's preparing them for if something happens and someone touches it or something inappropriate happens, you can explicitly say if someone says, did someone touch your vagina and they don't even know what that is, they can at least say, yes, I know exactly what that is.
Having the language, yeah.
So I guess adding on to that, this is funny, so let's make it even more funny, doesn't really help in any type of way. But it says the show depicts a man who is impulsive and not always in control, who makes mistakes like kids do, But crucially, Diliman always makes it right. He takes responsibility for his actions. When a woman in the show tells him that he should keep his penis in his pants, for instance, he listens, which is nice. He's accountable. So I paused there and I was like, why was his penis out of his pants?
No, but seriously, though, like,
why does she have to tell him?
And why does it keep happening?
That's, you know, the whole, like, premise.
I can get the initial accountability. Like, yeah, some people don't, I guess, understand, like, sexual assault and, like, the gray area that it is. But once you're told, why is it still happening?
Yeah.
And why is it like, ha, 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 oopsies?
Yeah.
No. I could see this being, like, one episode of a kid show.
For it to be everything that he's always making it right because he apologizes for the things that he's done? I don't get it.
This nigga is... I'm trying to think of one of the celebrities who have, like, assaulted people. I mean,
Louis C.K.?
Though. That's a good fit for
yeah, because yeah. It's like, yeah, just like, oops, whoopsie. I didn't know, no one said anything, then yeah, whatever. Anyway, so Hosted also goes that they admit that the timing was poor because the Me Too movement has been here for a while in the States, mm-hmm. But in Denmark it is now just starting because a TV show host came forward and it became like a So, like, now in 2020 or the end of 2020, 2021 is now they're starting a Me Too movement. So it came in light of that. And that the show could, they also said that the show could have considered depicting difference in body and diversity in a different way other than a huge dick. But she was saying how, like, it's not about sex. So to pretend that it's about sex and making it an adult thing is what, is our problem. Basically, we're projecting the adult ideas to it, but I'm like, it's not that, it's not about, I didn't think it was about sex at all. I just thought it was about a guy whose penis gets him into trouble and he apologizes for it and everything's okay, which, like, it is, and it doesn't make any sense. But the show,
yeah, and like paired with the fact that penises are sexual organs, yeah, like that's
like I can't really separate,
it's a pretty
that
strong link there to me. I don't know. Okay, Hosted.
But DR, the channel that has this show on it, John on it, is not a stranger to pushing boundaries for children's television. So we're very, I don't think, I say we are, but I mean, like, American TV, I think, is very filtered and censored in terms of children's programming.
For
like,
sure.
We don't, there's not any characters that are doing anything out of, like, really...
Kurosami couldn't even be gay. Like, let's just...
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Mr.
So,
Ratburn just turned gay, like, last year.
And then yeah. It was, like, banned in so many different places. Yeah. So they have Onke Riji, which is a popular figure who curses and smokes a pipe and avoids bathing. So, like, those are all things that they're like, oh, these are things that we shouldn't be teaching children, but the character does it all the time. Okay. And then there's a character in Geppetto News, which is, like, the equivalent of Sesame Street. It's, like, puppets, okay, who recently revealed a love of cross-dressing. I couldn't find the character, so I just, that's all I had on it. So that was interesting. Mm-hmm. And then there's also Ultra Smiter Tojet, which translates to Ultra Strips Down. I'm sorry if I'm butchering this language. It's not even close to anything that I'm familiar with. But it's a Danish TV show that the message is, this is what normal bodies look like. Hmm. But in doing that, they're presenting a panel of children from 11 to 13 with a panel of nude adults, which I get it.
Definitely a gray area.
It's like, they're just like, they have the adults walking around and like, or like just in front of them, and they say, this is what a normal body looks like, as opposed to, you know, Instagram. And it's supposed to be away from like these ultra doctored up bodies or things like that. So I'm like, this is the same channel who does this. And I still think John Dillerman wasn't the best idea that they could have done. Like, yeah. Granted, I don't think the panel of nude adults is like the easiest thing to defend, but I can almost see why, because it's not sexual. It's just like literally someone standing there. And I'm sure they were prepped for it.
I kind of fuck with that one.
Yeah. So I was like, clearly it's a different relationship, but even in considering that, it's just like not ideal. So they responded to the latest criticism, this criticism, by saying it's not supposed to be a commentary on gender, and that they could have just as easily made a show, quote unquote, about a woman who has no control over her vagina.
That's equally problematic.
That's their response. And that the most important thing was that children enjoy John Dillerman. And like, I looked it up and I was like, do children enjoy it? And like, I don't think they have, cause that was my first question. I was like, is this something that children are like really hot about? But it's so new. Like it came out this year that there's like not a lot of,
feedback.
I see like a 69%, not 69. I think that's my brain who did that. I was going to say 69%, approval
on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. But it's more like, it's not.
Yeah, but who's doing that? It's not like the 4-year-old.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Oh. They're not sitting here like,
click.
John Dillerman, let's freaking go. Like, it's not happening like that. But yeah, that's, you got to watch it. It's not in English. It's in Danish. But I watched it and it was very, it's like stop motion, robot chicken-esque. And it's just, I don't know. It's an interesting time.
I wonder who is in the writer's room. And that was such a tit for tat response.
Yeah, like DR we could have easily just made it about a woman. Like they that don't was, even that, know what
very
the
much
is.
Like, oh, and if a woman hits a man, is that okay?
No.
And then, like all actual feminists are like, no, that's also not okay. Like, what are you trying no. to do here? What are you trying to a woman or anyone who has a vagina, first of all? Like, why are we even being reductive in terms of that? But anyone who has a vagina should also not be losing control of their vagina that often. And then also, like, John Dillerman, I'm assuming, is a grown-ass man.
Yes, he's a middle-aged man specifically.
So what the fuck are you losing control of your penis so much for? What the fuck is this shit?
You're teaching the lesson that's being taught is like, and even when Hochstedt was like defending it, the lesson that's being taught is like, it's okay to do anything with your penis as long as you apologize for it and you make it right.
Can there be a show about like, I just punch people in the face and I go whoopsie and I keep punching people in the face?
As long as you make it right, bro. As long as you make it right.
Weird. I don't know about that one, Chief.
I don't know either. It exists.
I'd like to hear from people in Denmark.
Yeah. To see how they feel about it.
Yes, exactly.
If we find anything else, we'll follow up on John Penis Man.
Yeah, and if you're listening in Denmark,
let us know, please.
All right, well, speaking of penis, the sperm emperors of the pandemic are in high demand. More on that after this. So you got to keep listening. So if you can't get enough of the hose, luckily you can hear us in other places. Last week, I was a guest on the podcast Three Clips, and myself and In Those Jeans, executive producer and host Janina Jeff, spoke about how our award-winning science and black pop culture podcast In Those Jeans gets made. I want to shout out Jay Acunzo and producer Andrea Maraskin, who asked some great questions and laid out a wonderful behind the scenes of the In Those Jeans podcast. The link to this episode of Three Clips will be in the show notes. Also this week, our fellow coho, Rob, was a guest on Horrible Decisions podcast. That is a show hosted by two New York City women all about working out the kinks. To listen to that, you can click the link in our show notes. And if you're here after hearing Rob on Horrible Decisions, welcome. Okay, now we're going to get into our second current event of the day. This is something that I came across in a New York Times article called The Sperm Kings Have a Problem, Too Much Demand by Nellie Bowles. I'll drop the link in the show notes. I'm not going to read the entire thing like we did with the New York Post article earlier, but there's some stuff that I want to chat about because I think it's just fucking fascinating and interesting. So here are some fun facts laid out in the article that give you some good context. Okay, so some fast facts. Since the pandemic began, demand for sperm donors has gotten higher, but an actual supply of sperm has gone down. Folks in the industry hypothesize that things like loneliness, wanting some hope for the future, and work from home situations are contributing to this increased demand for sperm for folks who want to start their families. Also, with the legalization of gay marriage and a rise in single mothers by choice, demand for sperm has just been trending upwards for the past couple of years in general. Nice. However, because of pandemic restrictions, donors haven't been going to traditional sperm banks to donate sperm, but there's been a rise in an off-the-books kind of sperm donation, which I'm going to get into a little bit later. Lastly, for more context, the author herself is a partnered lesbian who was looking for that sweet, sweet semen. To start her family. Yes, that sweet, sweet semen. Another potential episode title. Okay, so some specific things that I want to talk about that this article touches on. So the concept of quote-unquote smart sperm, and feel free to chime in.
Okay.
Because this is like dialogue-y.
Of course.
This is a quote from the article. Many people also want smart sperm. That's why some big banks are near elite colleges. That immediately made me uncomfortable. First of all, what does it even mean to be smart in general? What does it mean
to be
smart?
What's the barometer? Just if you go to elite college?
What's the barometer and who set the barometer?
Yeah.
Because IQ is, first of all, it has racist origins. Yep. And it was created by a white man. That other shit, the fucking seven intelligences or whatever, which is granted more inclusive than IQ, but that was also invented by a white man.
And then elite colleges, a lot of the time, it's people who can buy themselves into it. So does that indicate intelligence? I'm not sure.
People who can buy themselves into it or come from families who went.
Yep.
So I don't even. And then also, how are these people certain that being smart is a heritable trait? Because that's not a fact. That's not a fact, but it's not like there's no general consensus in scientific literature that says, oh, being smart is
hereditary.
Because we don't even know what being smart is.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, I want smart sperm. It's just like, what are you even talking about?
Is that even a smart question? I think this is a callback to misinformation. It's a callback to just like assumptions and going, all right, well, you know, we had a conversation about misinformation earlier on. I think we mentioned it. But it's just like, oh yeah, that if you're smart, you're speem. Oh my God.
You're speeming.
If your speeming's got to be smart, you got to have them smart ass eggs, you know? Like, and yeah. It's just, it makes no sense. There's a lot of elitistness in that elitistness.
And just like, if it was like this super observable, heritable trait,
mm-hmm.
and we were saying that things like quote unquote IQ, that didn't need a quote unquote. I'm just being a dick to IQ, but rightfully so. If we are saying that like IQ is like the marker of this phenotype being smart,
yeah,
then wouldn't we see like generations of geniuses like over
because
and over
people
and over
would
again?
Because people would just be like, oh, this be is the passing genius that family. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
But who the fuck is Einstein's kids? Who is that? Are they? Did they also develop a? Did they do theory of relativity part two? Like, I don't.
It just doesn't make. It makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, so now, I think you're saying it, and I was about to say it. It's just like, so now you're just like, oh, we're isolating the smart gene, so we're only gonna like reproduce with other smart people, and eventually be like, oh, you don't have this, so we're gonna cancel you out.
And
okay.
What Rodecca is getting at is eugenics, friends. That is the literal definition of eugenics. Saying things like that is eugenicist.
Yeah.
And like, you have the right to do that. You have the right to partner with any sperm donor you want based on any perceived qualities that they have. But you are being eugenics when you do that.
Yeah.
You are being eugenicist when you do that.
I've also heard trends like the least affable is not the word. The least enticing sperm is redheads, which is I've read that because I wanted to donate eggs at one point in time, and there's like actual like qualifications, and they would never take my eggs because I'm too short, my weight. Yeah, it's like you have to be a certain type of person. You have to have no medical history of anything bad whatsoever. But like, even not like cancer or anything, but like any of those things, it's a very long list of qualities that they prefer. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's just like, oh, they see this black woman coming and they're like, maybe now they'd be like, oh, a black man's coming in, let me take his sperm, which is like problematic. I know what I'm saying, but in my head I'm like, I can see it just being very pick me and like, oh, this is what I want, and I designer babies type of thing. There you
designer
go
babies,
yeah. And I don't know what that designer looks like or what it looks like in the end, but it wasn't me because I was looking at the things. I was like, I'm none of these things, and that's like $8,000 an egg. I was gonna give it, you know, because at this point,
oh, yeah. why not
at this point. But yeah, it's definitely, there's a lot
that's
of
four stimmies.
Yeah. I'd get it faster, but then I'd get the stimmy, you know, might as well. And maybe, you know, make somebody happy. So I was
right
down for it. Yeah.
I'm glad that you brought that up too, because I just want the racial and socioeconomic stats on sperm donors.
Yeah.
Like, who is not being considered? Like, if we are picking people from quote unquote elite colleges. Ain't no niggas in elite.
Yeah.
Like, there are niggas in elite colleges, obviously, but like the statistics is a lot lower for like socioeconomic reasons, not because we're not as smart as people who are in those colleges, because we've been traditionally locked out. Also, those colleges are built on a lot of pseudoscience and specifically scientific racism. Yeah. The next thing that I would like to talk about is attractive sperm, quote unquote. So one part of the article mentions a particular donor sale and basically 35 vials produced from a quote unquote particularly handsome blue-eyed black-haired male sold out fast.
Interesting.
And then black right after, yeah, black hair and blue eyes. And after that, the author of the article says, I twitched a little hearing this, knowing I might have missed out on excellent sperm. I checked the banks a few times a day, but not that often.
Wow.
That, and like, thank you for writing the article. And I thought it was enlightening in many ways, insightful in many ways. But hearing that disgusted the fuck out of me.
Rightfully so.
Like a blue-eyed, black-haired male being defined as excellent sperm is weird.
Yeah.
I think it's weird to rank certain phenotypes as excellent for reproductive purposes. And once again, it feels extremely eugenist.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the preferences conversation. Like, I'm not colorist. I just like a light-skinned female. Because, you know, they would say female and not woman.
Mm-hmm.
You can't remove that from actual colorism that exists in the world, though, and the fact that you were birthed into that. And as a white person, you can't remove the fact that you niggas invented race in the first place, have been calling people who are not white trash and, like, fucking inferior for years. Like, that shit is still happening, but, like, just stopped.
Yeah.
Like fucking, like, Nazis still exist, my nigga. Like, World War II was, like, what? Fucking 80 years ago.
Not
like
that's that a long ago.
That's one human.
Yep.
That is one generation.
A single one.
That could be like y'all's grand fucking fathers and shit like that, and probably is. So like the fact that you're still playing, like that's why they're still playing in it though, because we are still very much in this like pseudoscientific racial scientific society. But like just like to not have the awareness of what you're saying and to be writing an article in the New York Times and to even like not question that, like maybe it was something that was questioned, like the editor cut it or something like that. But be aware of the world. Read the room, my nigga.
I was just about to say, put it in there and not like reference it by
challenge
saying,
it. Challenge
exactly,
yourself.
Exactly. Instead, it's like, oh, shucks, I missed out on it.
And, some it's not excellent sperm. Like, can we have a sidebar about why you think that's excellent?
I just be like, let's stop. What makes that excellent? Where'd you get that from? Yeah. Yep. And then watch them fumble or maybe be proud in what they think. I don't know, because they don't even realize it's fucking wrong.
Woo chow. So yeah, that made me uncomfortable, and I hate racism in general, obviously, as I think we all should. But it's like particularly troubling here and like annoying because I love possibilities and things being different from the way that they are. And sperm donation and being a recipient of sperm donation is like an opening up of possibility. Like your family could be so many different ways. Like you could really want to engage in the genetic diversity of humans, which is cool.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're still existing in this hierarchy and like this ranking of what is good genetics and what is quote unquote bad genetics is whack.
Yeah.
Like you could just be so open about it.
Yeah.
You are two fucking women. You are two people with quote unquote female reproductive organs who are starting a family with someone you don't even know.
Yeah.
That's cool. You could be out there, but you're just like, I want somebody blue eyes, black hair, handsome. And we know he's white.
Of course.
Like, why do you still have to be that whack? It's whack. On the same or on the flip side, though, do I personally want people who still hold on to these values raising kids of color? And the answer is hell the fuck no. So you can have your black-haired, blue-eyed baby, you motherfuckers.
Just keep it within line, because clearly if you were to branch out and just like find sperm of a different race or anything like that, I feel like the things you would teach that child, I don't even want them to be out there. Just let you keep your little blue-eyed black-haired baby and
you raise them to want another blue-eyed black-haired baby and just go on. Like
that's it.
It's just beef. I just have beef. I don't like it.
I get it.
Yeah. But even like people who say that they don't have those beliefs, I think there is another conversation to be had, which we're not having because I didn't think about this very much. Or, I mean, you can chime in if you want, but like someone who's like, well, I do want a black baby.
What I was kind of touching on that before, where it was just like, then it becomes like, okay,
why do you want a black baby? Do you want an exotic black baby?
Yeah, because that's what a lot can be said, and a lot of the time what the commentary is on the Kardashians, where it's just like, you wanted your mixed baby. So now I was kind of half scared that this article was going to lean to that, which is also just as bad, where it's just like, oh, you're picking a baby that you feel like would look exotic, or like, oh, I know that they're just going to look cute. And you're just like, the same reason why somebody's like, I can never be with a dark skinned person, blah, blah, blah. It's the same thing. You're kind of skipping the middleman and literally just taking the sperm and doing what you want to do in terms of this designer babies. And that's why I was saying it depends on what the designer baby looks like for you, because for some people it's a blue eyed, black haired baby. But for other people, it's just like, I want that black man sperm because I will have
racially exotic looking kids.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's just like, it's shitty altogether. And the people have that right. I just wish they wouldn't exercise that right, and they would just like
exactly like, just like, I want my child's genes to ensure that they will not die at birth, like,
yes.
You know, that's like, the complete destruction of hierarchy, I think. Like, just like, I want them to live.
Yeah. And like the smart gene thing was kind of like almost where I was like, okay, maybe, because it doesn't, there's no proof in it, but at least you're like, oh, you know, you want your child to be intelligent, but it still feels like it's rooted in like this really shallow, oh, I want my baby to be a genius.
It is. That's totally rooted in intelligence. And like in the eugenicist movement, I mean, we talked about this in the episode we did about reproductive rights and stuff like that. Like, it was like two big things like driving the eugenicist movement. And it was like, we don't want no fucking black people, and we don't want no fucking like, I guess, people who we would define as mentally inferior.
Yeah.
Like, the shit has always been racist and ableist. So to say like a smart gene once again is just like,
yeah,
it's fucked up. It's the same thing. That's fucked up. It's just still eugenics, and I hate it. And it's not like,
oh, I want my baby to be a good person. Let me, if they were saying things like, oh, let me have a baby by a firefighter, or like somebody who I consider like a hero or something, because I want them to be good people. Yeah. Granted, I still would be like, that's silly. But at the same time, it's like, okay, maybe there's something good in that. There's some good where you just want to produce another person who can help other people out. But it's just baseless and shallow. It's just like, oh, I want a good looking person, you know, who could be anything. Yeah. In terms of personality.
Which is also subjective.
Yeah,
and also,
exactly.
Like, deeply rooted in white supremacist constructions of what beautiful is.
Yep.
Yep. So fuck all of that. But let's go on to the renegades of sperm donation, because this is kind of cool. So since supplies are low now, and also because of already existing barriers, like really, really high cost, people have been donating and receiving sperm outside of traditional sperm banks. So the author refers to this subset of people as the quote unquote sperm kings. Once again, I don't know if the editor played a role in this, but... Can we just like stop with the fucking genitals gender thing? Can we just stop? But can we stop if we're queer? Like, you're a lesbian writer. Why do they have to be sperm kings? Why can't they just be people with sperm?
Yep.
Not everybody who has a penis is a man.
Yep.
Come on. Like, it's frustrating because like, I know that everybody is not there.
Yeah.
In regards to like, gender IQ, or not IQ, let me just disregard IQ, but everybody's not there in regards to like gender literacy.
Yeah.
And not everybody's going to be there, and that's fine. But at some point, if you know, you have to start talking like that so other people know.
Yeah.
So if you are writing an article in the New York Times and you are a queer woman, you should not be conflating genitals with gender. Please just stop. Like, and I'm literally saying like, please just stop. Like,
please say psych.
say psych right now.
Please.
Say psych right now. Like, so, and it's like doubly troubling because it is like a big publication, like the New York Times.
Yeah.
Like, here's my bad. Like, I produce a science podcast in those jeans. There was a couple of times last season, and I'm like reflecting on it like earlier in the season, where like when we were talking about like female parent and male parent, we would say mom and dad. Making a point this season to not do that anymore, because I don't like that. And you can change. So like when I say please say stop, like I don't think that Nellie Bowles is going to listen to this, but like I'm literally asking like, please just stop. Like I don't think that you
make
meant harm by it.
Effort.
I don't think you meant harm by it, but like stop doing that. And like the editors who edit the stuff, stop doing that. Like just like change it up a little bit, especially if you are queer, because I know that's already in your brain.
Yeah.
So yeah, henceforth they will be referred to as the sperm emperors. because I don't want to gender people who have sperm. So some things about the sperm emperors. They typically give sperm for free. They let families know their identities.
Which doesn't usually happen.
That does not usually
happen.
It's
usually a number or like just a code.
Yes.
And like fast facts about the donors.
Yep. Yeah. It's usually anonymous. You don't get to see them as an adult. Sometimes some places let you see them as a child. Mm-hmm. And like one interesting thing that the art, like I still think, like read the article because I think it is insightful. But one interesting thing that the article brought up is like the anonymity of these places is like pretty much BS now that Ancestry.com, 23andMe, like you just take a test and find out who your actual dad is at this point. Even if he does, or even if they don't take the test, even if that parent doesn't take the test, if one of their relatives has taken the test, it's increasingly easy to find these people.
Wow.
And instances like that have happened. So it's just like, why not let niggas know? Why not let niggas know who I am? They don't have limits on how many families they work with. So at traditional sperm banks, there's a limit because...
And you don't want a whole bunch of siblings?
Yeah, you don't want genetic concerns in the population. So I guess if like this motherfucker is spreading all of the sperm to like everybody in New York... And niggas in New York are like, okay, who's my dating population? People who were birthed around the same time that I was birthed. Oh, shit. I'm dating my sibling.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, then we get to the lesbian sister rabbits. We brought it back to them. They didn't know who their fucking parents were.
And there you go. That's exactly what happens. It's full circle.
Yeah. So these motherfuckers don't have limits on how many families they work with.
Wow.
So... that's kind of interesting. But then again, also with like traditional sperm banks, you're typically going to a place that's nearby. But sometimes these people work with people like, oh, I'm going to do 15 families in the US, then I'm going to go to Canada and work with 15 families over there.
Wow. Okay.
There are apps. So there's, and this is not a sponsorship of any of these apps, I just want you to know there's apps. One is called Madomily, one is called Just a Baby. And there are two Facebook groups. I became a member of both yesterday because I just wanted to see what was going on. There are influencers popular for both giving sperm and going through the process of buying sperm. And
wow,
this is where stuff gets a little bit saucy. So this is a quote from the article. Most donors specify that they will donate through AI, artificial insemination. Some will also donate via NI, natural insemination, or sex. The line between altruism and a sexual kink can get murky and raises safety questions.
Yeah.
So the article went on to describe that, like, the murky thing is, like, what if somebody comes back and is like, yo, you owe child support? Or if what if a donor comes back and is like, wait, that's my baby, I want custody. And how do we write contracts, I guess, safeguarding against those things? So that's a thing that exists. I haven't heard any instances of that, but that's a thing that exists. And then obviously the safety questions are, like, in regards to like sexually transmitted infections. There's a little bit more to it though. So I went on a website called CoParent, which is like basically for people who engage in sperm donation or receiving. And I got all of the acronyms. So there's AI, okay, artificial insemination, pot and syringe, outside the clinic, in a recipient's house or hotel. Then we got AI Plus.
Okay.
So that's artificial insemination with the recipient cooperating. The donation obtained with the recipient present and giving assistance in the room. This could be anything to stimulate the donor. For example, parading, mutual touching, a helping hand, oral, or anything other than intercourse. The recipient then inseminates the donation as per AI. So that you're just helping out, but they still do it in the cup.
Okay. Wow.
And we have partial insemination. This is where the donor masturbates and just before coming will ejaculate into the recipient, i.e. intercourse strictly for procreation, not recreation. Then we have our straight up natural insemination, which is unprotected sex. Then we have NI Plus, which is oral sex followed by natural insemination.
Well, okay. Everything sex. But NI Plus was on, was like anything but NI Plus. I was like, all right, they're getting creative. Like, granted.
NI Plus is just niggas are fucking.
Yeah. Like, you don't even have to identify that one. The NI Plus, like, the oral sex adds nothing to the actual procreation process. You did not need to put.
I just wanted to suck a little dick for a baby.
Yeah,
real quick.
Like, don't.
What's wrong with that?
They had me too. I was like, you know what? Let me not. I'm not not shaming anybody. I'm like, you know what? They get it done how they need to get it done, and they want a baby. You know, I don't, I've never understood that desire, but I get it because some people really want children.
Yes.
But like the NI plus is where you lost me, because I'm like, bro, you added that oral sex just to stunt a little bit. Like, yeah, I did the NI plus.
Get on my level. I don't
know about y'all, but I did the full Monty. And that's what it feels
you just,
like. It's
you
like,
just
wait.
Tell the kid when you grow up, you know, I suck some dick for you. So like,
you were wanted, okay? You were wanted. I did what I had to
don't
do.
Don't cause no trouble in the household. I did a lot to get you here.
It's just I'm like, doing what I got. I don't even like dick.
I don't even like this nigga.
For you. Clean your room, okay? Little NI plus ass.
Oh boy, yeah. And I plus, shout out to the NI plus babies who are listening to this in 15 years. Like that's what my parents did. Yo, I'm weak, son. That's very funny. I just enjoyed that. Thank you to coparent.com for breaking it down. The real tea. My last note on this is just like the whole new world of it all. So the article ends lamenting on how loneliness but lack of ability to start a traditional family is driving some of these sperm donors. So here's a quote. The men... and I'm putting in parentheses people who donate sperm, because those two don't have to always be linked, often do not have families of their own, but think their genes deserve to survive. It's a quote from one of those people. Now I have this vision of me being in my 50s and 60s, and I have a large dinner table, and I'm inviting all of my donor kids to join me for dinner and tell me their stories, their journeys, he continued. I want to hear all of their adventures. This is the thing that pushes me.
I
thought that was beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah.
I do love that. That's like, that's something that I kind of feel like I resonate with, because I don't, and that's the first time I've ever thought I could do that too, where I would love to have them like at a table and just like, you're not mine. I don't want you to be mine. I don't want to
raise you, but I want to have a human connection with
people. Yeah, and it's just like, whoa. Yes. Wow. So that was really nice.
It was cool.
That was pure and nice.
It was cool.
Granted, I hope he has leveled his expectations to that maybe they don't want a relationship with
him.
But at the same time,
I like the fact that he likes to have the door open, though. Like, if you want to come through.
Which a lot of the time people feel like they want that and they don't get it. So that's nice. That was really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my overall thoughts, I'm fascinated. If you are a sperm donor, come on the show right now.
Please. Just be a nice person, then.
Don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
And then I went into, and I won't say anything that I saw in the group or whatever, because I feel like that's violating their privacy. But I joined, and then like a couple of hours after I was accepted, it was like, all right, we got a recipient for you. I was like, oh shit, y'all are moving quick.
Wow. Matched up.
Somebody DM'd me. Like,
wow.
We got this, and that. A lot of vials.
Okay.
I was like, oh, okay, that's good to know. I was here for research purposes, but that's pretty cool.
Okay.
I'll stay in it, though. I mean, possibility throughout process to forming a family. Because I know we were talking about, like, single parenting by choice on the episode that Rob did a couple of weeks ago. And by that, I mean several months ago, but time is a social construct.
Yeah, it feels,
But I like the cost benefit of this shit. And, like, there are so many things where you can, like, you can do the services naturally allotted to you by the sperm bank. So, like, yeah, you can just get an STI test. Like, you can do that on your own. You can just, if genetic concerns are something that are of concern to you, you can do a 23andMe test. And it's like, okay, you do carry the gene where it's, like, baby dying off rip genes. And then you know that person has baby dying.
It's taking
genes.
The medical power back into their own hands, which
democratizing it. Yeah,
we've talked about this before. I'm all for that, and you know, just doing it in a safe way is what's more important. And just like, should be costing like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, if you want to have one kid, it'll probably be $5,000 because of
$5,000. NI plus is free. Okay,
and you get a little, razzle dazzle up in there,
you know, little funsies, you know, it could be simple.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, yeah, if you're one of these people, come on the show. All right, we're gonna go into our next segment now. Let me pull up the drop. It's once again Akua's favorite song. Shout out to Choti Ma. That is the person who composed this song. It's very good.
you make music and want your music to be on this podcast, hit us up, iisupodcast@gmail.com. This segment is called Fuck You, and it is the segment where we read your listener letters. If you'd like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, rant against the white cishet patriarchy, you can send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Please include your pronouns. Also, because we are in the future, you can leave us a voicemail. We'll play it and respond to it on the show. You can drop us a line at 404-491-9158. A little disclaimer, the advice given in this segment is general advice and in no way meant to replace or serve as the advice of a medical or mental health professional.
This letter was given to us by anonymous and we were not giving any pronouns. So we're just going to read it as is. The subject line is friendship ending and content warning for mentions of sexual assault. Check the show notes for the time code to skip and to avoid this. So it starts, hello peeps. Thank you for your content during this. Thank you for saying peeps. Gender neutral.
We're yes. Doing it. There you go, right there.
So thank you for your content during this historic time when we're all anxious. Thank you for listening. This is about to be very dramatic and I will try to be chill in how I write everything. In April, I ended things with my sexual and mental abuser of 2 years who I was in a relationship with. I did so with the help and support of my therapist who helped me to feel sane and in control again. At the end of the relationship, I had no boundaries with anyone in my life. In May, I finally told my best friend since sixth grade, we are 23 now, about being raped at the beginning of the relationship down to leaving him. Before this, I had been very emotional after finally freeing myself of that fucking monster. Before I told her, there had been distance between us on her behalf. She had just got back from losing her job in California. She also seemed different, more confident in herself in a good way, but also even more blunt than she had been before. Therapy has helped me to realize that not just my romantic relationships have been impacted by my childhood trauma, my friendships have too. In childhood, she would playfully pretend to not be my friend if I did something she didn't like. She's always been emotionally distant. After telling her everything over the summer till now, in October, we have been more and more distant. Now she texts me every once in a while asking, how are you mentally? And the conversations after I reply that and ask her the same. That's the extent of our friendship at this point. I also feel like she thinks I'm depressed because I'm not being optimistic. Anytime I say anything remotely not positive, she hints at being positive. Just because I said grad school was hard doesn't mean I said I thought I would fail. It's like she's willingly forgetting I'm a queer Black feminist woman going through grad school during a pandemic and historic election. That's valid. At this point, I feel like maybe we already weren't doing great as friends. And now she wants to end our friendship, but just doesn't know how because of what I'm going through. So she just points out when I say something remotely negative. It hurts that she hasn't been there for me through such a traumatic thing as leaving a sexually traumatic relationship. I just needed a friend to kick it with. Still, I'm trying to be considerate about the fact that this is a traumatic time for everyone. COVID is getting worse. The election has all of our stomachs at knots. And like I said, she has lost her job in California and had to move back in with her parents. My question is, how do I either take this friendship for what it is or respectfully end this friendship with a childhood friend? Thanks, y'all. Initially was going to wait. I do have some quick things that I immediately thought of when I reread it.
Yeah, go for it.
Mm-hmm. It's just very much like, I think they made a point to say that romantic relationships has affected them from their therapist's point of view. And obviously this is something that we emphasize in the show a lot. Platonic relationships can affect you in a lot of ways. But I also think there are some pieces of advice that we usually reserve for romantic relationships that we should reserve for all types of relationships. And that is in the same, I don't know, it seems like you haven't brought these things up in the same way that you're saying it here. And you guys grew up together. People change over time. And the fact that, you know, it probably was easy for you guys to have these conversations in the beginning because there wasn't really anything happening that was like traumatic or crazy or not crazy, dramatic or conflict or anything conflict. Like that. Because like from sixth grade, you have like these tiny conflicts and they feel like the world to you, but they're not like world ending. And they're not these things that are very much bigger now that you're an adult. And I think, you know, you're not having a conversation saying, hey, it feels dismissive when I'm telling you something is going on in my life and you're immediately telling me to think positive. Like you have to challenge set these boundaries and have these conversations in the moment. Because, you know, I've had people do that to me. And I think to myself, well, maybe I am negative. And it starts to affect you when you're like, wait a minute, I just need the space to talk. This is really important to me. And even in you saying like, hey, all of my feelings are valid. And I it's not that I'm not positive. I'm just really having a moment where I want to talk to my friend about this. And I think that's important to, you know what? The second name of this show is not In Hope Rising. It's Communicate, Please. That's really what it is.
Communicate, comma, please. Please. But it's a cum pun still.
Of course. Communicate, please. And it's always going to be the age old answer to things. You have to have these conversations. And they are difficult because you want to be the fun friend or you want to be the same friends that you were before. But it's really about sitting down and saying, hey, like, you know, this does affect me in a different way. And I am being positive, but that's not the solution to everything. Mm-hmm. And then going from there. But mm-hmm. yeah, that was just my quick thoughts. But Sam, please.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with your quick thoughts. And I have, I'm just going to say like a little bit more detail about those thoughts, basically. So I kind of wrote it down in steps. So I think step one, like, largely starts with yourself. Evaluate whether or not you want to continue this friendship, like for real, for real. Like weigh how it adds and detracts value from your life and decide from there. Like if it's detracting more than it's adding, like sometimes it is. Sometimes you just got to cut your losses. I think a therapist can help you out with this. So it's good that you have that in place. Number two, if you decide that it is adding more value or it is something that you want to try to salvage, ask your friend to have an open conversation about where you both stand in regards to the friendship, what your boundaries are, and what you need from it. I think this can and probably will be multiple conversations because it sounds like there's a pretty large rift happening. And if you're like Rodeca said, like, some of the advice that we take for romantic relationships, we don't place on, and this is we in the colloquial sense, not us specifically, but we don't place on platonic friendships or platonic relationships or even familial relationships, even though we can and probably should. So my next suggestion, like if you're both committed to working on things, this can even be in the form of platonic couples therapy. Like you can just both go to therapy together. And a third party can help you sort some of these things out because you're both coming with your personal like viewpoints and stuff like that. And maybe like a third person can like help you see where the other person is coming from and things. 2.5, step 2.5 sounds like some boundaries need to be established. One thing that I always live by since I heard it, so not always, but maybe like 2 years ago, was when you feel resentment, it means that you didn't establish a boundary. So if like you're mad at someone for something or you're just like, why didn't they do this? Some communication was not had. And if the communication was had, then they're just stepping over your boundaries and that's time to reevaluate that after that. But I think y'all can benefit from establishing what boundaries you both have. I think it's worth letting her know that when you speak, like Rodeca said, when you speak about something negative in your life, you're looking for an ear to listen, not a dose of positivity. She might not even... And that's not saying it's right, but she might not even know that that's like how you should communicate with someone. It seems like both of y'all are pretty young. And that's not something that, like, these are things that you learn, you know? It's not like, oh, inherently, oh, I know how to do that. I also think it might be worth you asking her about what her boundaries are in regards to venting. So she just might be ill-equipped to receive what you're saying when you're saying it, which might lead to the disconnect there. I don't know. Like, she might just, like, not be in the space for something very negative.
Yes.
So it's worth, like, asking her if she is. And then three, like, if these things do go well and you do have these open conversations and these probably very difficult conversations about what you want out of the friendship and where you see and what capacity you even want the friendship, because sometimes people just, like, de-escalate their friendships. Like, sometimes, like, they're best friends and then they're just like, oh, no, we're best friends, whatever that means to you. Like, maybe it's just, like, less of each other in your lives. But whenever you establish what that is and what you need and if you even want it, set some intentional time to bond, you know? Like, you're just like, oh, I tell her about my she asked me about my mental health and I ask her about hers and that's it. That's intentional times to talk, but that's not intentional times to bond. That's not how friendships are developed. That's not how you all became friends as children, you know? Like, you still have to, like, have these, like, childlike ways about you, like, even in romantic relationships. Just because you're in a committed relationship doesn't mean you stop dating and courting each other. Like, you still have to be friends with your friends. So this is very outsider looking in, but it sounds like you two have grown apart. I mean, you've mentioned that. I think all friendships and relationships, period, need intentionality behind them. So if you are both committed to doing this work to rebuild your friendship, ensure that you build in time to have fun with one another. It is a pandemic. But bonding still can be done virtually. And I'm going to put a link to the show notes of a virtual date ideas thing that I made at the beginning of the pandemic that I still think can be fun. Sometimes me and Rodeca paint together on Zoom. And it's very fun. Sam drops
the, I'm setting intentional time to bond word for word. And I'm like, she does. And I'm like, it's time. She's like, we're doing this. So I'm like, all right. It's very.
Let's hang out.
But it's
I'll put it in my calendar.
I will put you in between the things that I'm doing. And you know, that's love in and of itself. It's just, it doesn't always have to be like, we'll get to it. And you can be formal and say, hey, stop everything. This is what I want to do. And in a lot of ways that can feel good because you're like, okay, this person wants to hang out with me. This person wants to do that type of stuff. Yes. That's me speaking to Sam. But yes, in general.
Snigga loves me, Loki. So I should try to kiss, you.
That yeah, see?
Nothing is new.
The worst time of my life, son. It's an accident.
God. I will forever bring it up. I will never hashtag never forget.
Never forget.
All right. Anything else to say about that?
No, I think you hit it all right on the head, and it's exactly. I think the overall thing is not all is lost, especially the fact that like you guys are doing that little, how is your mental health? I don't think that they're intentionally trying to be dismissive. Granted, I don't know this person, but even for them to frame it in that way, I think that they're trying to like learn things and just like have that conversation. I think you guys just need to figure out your flow.
Yeah.
And just like not let it be like, okay, that's it. And because when someone's like doesn't want to be your friend anymore, you're not getting that hit up.
They're not going to ask you that.
They're not. It's just like you're not getting a text. Your phone is dry. But the fact that it's just like you're on their mind, I think you guys just need to figure out exactly what it is that you're both thinking and meet in the middle.
Yes. I agree with that. All right, Anonymous, let us know how it goes or not, whatever you want to do. Yeah. But I hope it goes well, no matter what you decide and what the outcome is. Nice. If this episode made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, please leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher and let everyone you know that you love these hoes. We appreciate every single last one of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Ho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Ho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You could join our Facebook group by searching Inner Ho Uprising, CUMMUNITY, and head over to innerhouprising.com to pay a ho. You can also follow me personally, Rodeca, sometimes Rebecca, at the dark and sometimes Buku Chakama.
What's that?
You'll see.
What is that?
So there was this anime that I was watching because some animes are just extremely outlandish. And
yes.
If you don't watch a dub for anything other than the hilarity of the translations, this is one of those moments where we just like the chef's kiss. It was like they just like it was random. There's like a whole bunch of characters you're supposed to know because I just jumped to like a random episode and it's just like, not the night of Buku Chakama. And I was like, nah, you guys at this point are just saying things that make no sense. So I made that my Instagram name and everyone has been like, what is this? And I was like, you gotta be there, yo. Like, but yeah, so sometimes Buku Chakama.
That's very funny.
And at the darkest timeline and on on Twitter at Existing Crisis.
Well, I'm Slam Rid on Instagram, Twitter, and Clubhouse. I wish I had a Buku Chakama.
Oh, yeah. And on Clubhouse, I think I'm Existing Crisis or Rebby or Not. One of the two.
It's in the show notes.
Yes, it is. Look there.
All right. Everybody have a great week.